Hello, how you doing? I'm Katie Ree, the one and only legendary. Y'all heard me.
I'm Rusty Laser.
Hi, guys. So I'm here talking with you because the Fuse TV show Big Frida, Queen of Bounce is premiering in a couple weeks, October 2nd. And you guys are both involved. You're both present in the show. You're both involved in the shooting, which took place here a couple of months ago, right? When did your involvement with that start up?
About 3 years ago, I'd say. Kind of like brewing with work that we were doing, people's awareness growing. Then it became like, I think became like really real only maybe like 7 or 8 months ago or something. I mean, and they did some shooting about a year ago, but it took a while for that to become more than just a highlight reel or something, you know?
Like, we had the audition, or like they interviewed us or something. It was me, it was Nikki B and I sitting on my sofa, and like I sat there, you know, was talking about, you know, situation at the camera about it, whatever. But instead of like audition we had to do for the reality show, you know, for the reality show. So that's when I heard about it. It had to be like 2 or 3 years ago. And before you know it, we started shooting.
Like, it came on fast all of a sudden.
Like
they were
March,
ready.
Like just out the blue. Because I really forgot we auditioned for it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. That's how long it took. Like, you know, I really forgot I auditioned for it. But like, so it's like, it's like out the blue, Frida was like, girl, she got my phone one day. She was like, girl, we got the reality show. We have to do the reality show. They're about to start shooting. I'm like, when is it? She was like, girl, we start shooting next week. I'm like, what?
It was like that.
I had to like just stop everything I was doing. All my show, like my shows, my, you know, anything I had coming up, I had to like just
put it on ice.
Push it to the side.
Yeah.
To take care of this.
And how long were they actually shooting in New Orleans for?
We shot for 6 weeks, right? 2 months?
Like 2 months.
Yeah, I mean, it was just whenever they needed it. So
yeah, we just like whenever they yeah, call your phone like, we need you tomorrow, but for 12 o'clock. I'm like,
or tonight. Just like quick, you know.
So it's like when I first started, like yeah, like when I first started, like they'll call me like, we go home like 4 o'clock, and then coming right back and say, we need you in like another hour, girl. I'm like, what? You're like, yeah, I'm sorry. We need you another hour. We need you for the shoot. We need you in there. We need you.
Yeah, it was intense. But I think that's part of their shooting thing, too, is they're trying to get you, you know, like,
yeah,
engaged.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, that part of that is just, like, keeping you guessing, you know, as part of that energy, yeah. I think.
So how are you two involved in the show? I know it's mainly focused around Big Frida.
Yeah, the idea was really mainly that they were sort of following Frida, because they did other things with her, like outside of here. They went to Brazil with her. They did, you know, they did different things with Frida. And I think she was kind of the anchor for the show because, you know, she has the most sort of notoriety outside of New Orleans, at least when they started doing that show, I'd say that's true. And so, the you know, mainly came together around Frida. And then when they got to Frida's home life, and like when they get to the part of the show that deals with like this world, New Orleans world for her, as opposed to like touring or whatever, then it was, you know, we all came on as like ancillaries to the actions that are going on in her life, you know, like around the action that's going on in her life. And it's like everybody's pulling their weight and doing their own thing. Everybody's got their own roles to play and stuff. It isn't like we're all just rotating around Frida, but the rest of the show is primarily is tracking her work outside of New Orleans and all that stuff. And so this is just we're only really going to be in the New Orleans part of of what it is.
So what sort of places did they actually visit during the New Orleans shoot?
For the New Orleans part of it, it was some fun stuff. And we did a kids concert in Lehman Park, where it was with Silence is Violence, and we sort of tried to create an environment for kids who are into bounce, who are younger, who are already dancing to bounce all the time, that could be like, you know, more kid-centric space where they're not, it's not always just a block party with adults all around and everything else, like a kid party. That worked out really well. It was really fun. Katie and I had a really fun moment where we rode around in the back of a pickup truck. Ooh. For like
three. Awesome. Awesome. That's one of the things I can remember. I can remember.
I could do that every week of my life for the rest of my life.
And I didn't want to do it at all. I kept saying, oh, they set me up. Why would they do me there? They was like, they set me up. But like when I got the mic, and
we had a big sound system.
Here comes
in the back.
Katie, like, you know, and once I heard the beat, I'm like, ah, I was just screaming and hollering, like just cutting up. Y'all come to Lehman Park. We have a DJ for the kids. Like, stop the violence, the silence of violence.
So we're riding through like the MELF, and we're riding through like different neighborhoods. And Katie is in the back of the pickup truck. I have a giant sound system that my friend loaned us. and he's doing the driving, and then the camera car is like on the side of us, and it's just like hundreds of kids chasing us through the streets. And it's like a dream come true for me. I've always dreamed that I would get to do that moment in my life. Thank God it was like being shot well, you know? So it's like, it doesn't just have to be a memory so people will know about it.
And all those people come running behind us and running behind the truck and they're pulling up behind us. They're getting out their cars.
Oh, it was crazy. It was mayhem in the streets.
So it sounds like that was a definite highlight for you, Katie.
Yes.
I'd say it was a big one.
And I didn't want to do it at all. Like, look what happened.
Sometimes I'm right. What can I say?
So did they go to any clubs where Katie was performing?
I don't know, Katie, did they go to clubs with you?
Only Siberia. They didn't follow me like that. Like they were trying to come to the pageant, because you know I do pageants, and they were trying to come record the pageant and stuff like that, but some came about with the papers wasn't signed and something like that, so they couldn't record.
Everything had to be like cleared times a thousand, you know. It was so complicated to get,
but they really were trying to get their part of my life, the other side, the Keltner Galliano side, like the drag side of Katie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Katie's also a drag performer.
Yeah, of course.
And they didn't really come to my shows very much. I don't really, at the time I wasn't playing a lot of shows.
Yeah. So speaking of pageants, Katie, when was the last one you were in?
The last one I did was May 31st. I'm competing.
What was that one called?
Diamond of the South.
What?
Miss Diamond of the South.
Diamond of the South. I love
it. I'm competing in Houma, US of A, September 28th in Houma, Louisiana.
Yeah. What sort of event is that? Who's putting it on?
Houma, US of A. That's the prelim to US of A, Miss Gay US of A. It's a big, big, big pageant in Dallas, Texas. Like 50 girls compete.
Nice.
And it's real national. Like, you know, like you win like tons of money. You were like gowns and other big old crown. Yeah. And
endorsements, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, all kind of stuff. Sponsorships and all this kind of stuff.
So this is like the regionals for that?
So, yay. So I have to get to this. I have to go win this one to get to that one. And all.
Yeah.
Are you feeling confident?
I'm kind of nervous. But once I get there, all that changes. Mm-hmm. Like, because I guess I turn into, like Beyonce turned into Sasha Fierce.
So Resty, as a DJ, I know you rely on a lot of late night gigs to make your living. I was curious how you've been affected by the development of noise laws and ordinances in recent months.
I lost a lot of work. My income went from, my income dropped by 4/5 since that happened. Whoa. I can't play at Mimi's. I can't play late at Siberia. I can't play late at St. Rock anymore. Like all the places I used to go till 4 or 5 in the morning, I can only go till 2. So all the money that I used to make is gone. And now I'm just having to deal with that. It's like just a new situation, you know, and I'm trying to figure out what else I can do besides DJ. And
how late how early rather do you have to stop at some of these places now?
2 a.m. is kind of like, well, at the St. Rock it's actually 1:30, I think, or 1, I can't remember right now. And then at other Mimi's can't have any music at all, period, and all the other places are 2. And frankly, you know, New Orleans is a pretty late night town. That might change as this stuff changes. Maybe people get used to going out early. But as it stands right now, like, people aren't used to going to, like, bounce parties at like, you know, until, like, 1:30 in the morning or something. And that's really hurting that reality, because it's not – that's – for people to show up at 1:30 and stay till 2 doesn't really help, you know, my life. It doesn't keep me paid, you know. So, yeah, it's definitely done a huge – bit of damage to that part of my life. Fortunately, though, you know, I have other things going on, and I like keep changing what I do all the time to stay interested in stuff. So I just can't do that.
Yeah. How have you been trying to compensate for that? Are there other opportunities to perform?
Travel. I mean, really, the only thing is to leave. You know, like
go to
San Francisco, go to LA, go to New York, go to Chicago, go to Austin. You know, like any places where we already have like a following for Bounce, I can do that. And I can tour with other rappers. I've managed Nikki DaBee, but I also tour with Katie and other people, and also try to do bookings for artists who ask me to. And yeah, I stay like, you know, there's some money in that. Probably like, you know, the best, probably the way that I'm staying afloat is through things like, you know, licensing songs and things like that. That's really, you know, and providing other opportunities for people that I can, that are like almost acting as an agent or something. And that's sort of how I've kept myself afloat in the meantime. But that's not fun either. I mean, you know, it's not fun to sit in front of. The funnest stuff is being on stage or making music. And I'm a drummer. I've been one for years. And if I can just go back to drumming, I'd be happy. You know, that in and of itself would make me happy. So.
You're kidding, right?
Huh?
You're kidding, right?
Did you see that drum set in the other room? I've been playing since I was 4 years old.
So you can go back to drum sections.
Yeah. I can just go, not in drum sections, but be in a band. I can go back to being in like a punk band or whatever.
So you wouldn't be no more DJ?
Well, I can still DJ on the side.
No, you can't.
This is news to you, Katie.
Maybe I'll DJ maybe I'll DJ and drum at the same time. How hot is that?
For real?
Yeah, I've always wanted to. Don't you think people would love that?
I'm looking for my own rock band.
Oh, I can help you.
Am I witnessing a career change for you here, Katie?
Punk rock Katie?
Yeah. I wondered, Katie, what your thoughts are on the changing attitudes of the outside world to bounce in the last few years.
I think everybody liking it now. They're liking it more. And that's my whole focus of bounce period. Like, you know, why I have the chance, you know, to spread, you know, the word and, you know, spread the entertainment out to let people know, you know, what bounce really is. Hip hop is already, you know, heard, you know, R&B is already heard, you know, jazz is already heard, and jazz come from New Orleans. Like, bounce is heard, but it need to be heard more, you know. So it's like, that's my whole focus. Get bounce out there as more. That's why I came up with the Dream Team. You know, it's like, you know, my own, like, people I run with, like, other local rappers, you know, in New Orleans that I think have the potential, like, you know, to make it as well. I did the same thing with Freed. I did the same thing with Nicki B. You know, I did this, you know. So it's like that's what I've been doing lately. As long as Bounce making it, I don't care who make it bigger than who. You know, it's not a vision on who make it bigger than who. As long as it's make it and it hurt, because I'm a Bounce artist myself. And it's like, and some people don't give back to the communities. Like, so I grab the younger ones, you know, and, you know, I just take them on a road with me. So it's like, if you don't like me, you're gonna like somebody up here, you know.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? You know, so you don't like me, you don't like me. It's like, and Frida has branched out and started doing her own thing. Nicki B has branched out and started doing his own thing, you know. So, like, and that's the kind of, you know, vision that I have. Long as Bounce make it, I'm okay.
I have the same attitude.
You don't know how long you're going to be here, you know. So, it's like, if I have the gift to like, help, let me do it, you know. Give me the humanitarian award, I guess.
I think people's attitudes are changing in a big way. I've definitely, you know, when we first started traveling, the first person I ever traveled with was Frida. And when I started traveling with Frida, like, you know, people, really, really underground kids were into it. And that was about it. You know, like kids who just like went to warehouse parties in New York and, you know, like these kind of like underground situations. And over time, it's just become as mainstream as anything. I mean, Frida just went on tour with Postal Service, you know, as strange of an idea as that is, that was Ben Gibbard's idea. And across the, you know, Bounce may end up being one of those things that gets, that has like musicians appeal and musician stamp of approval. It may not ever really make it big, you know, like huge big. But I think that, you know, Coco Rosie took Sissy Nobi on tour with him. Creation contacted Nobi to do a song, you know, like with her. Postal Service requested Frida for that tour. All down the line, you get these musicians who are way outside of Bounce, but and who are really well known for what they do. And a lot of times they're kind of like the weirder, more awesome musicians out there who are like reaching into Bounce and asking for the kind of like permission to participate in some way or another. And that's the coolest way for it to grow, in my opinion. The most healthy way is if, you know, musicians really respect it and take it on as a project of their own that they can do with Bounce rappers, then everybody's it, the word's getting out, but it's happening like with the under some kind of control, not just like flying out into the world and everyone can try it themselves and it's a big mess and people forget that it's even from here, you know. I would love for it to grow and for people to understand that it's like a New Orleans thing fundamentally, that they can participate in it, but it's not like, but it still is for people. It's for our lives. It's more, I think Bounce is so much more in New Orleans than most people give it credit for outside of New Orleans. Like, we don't just dance to it because it's like a good song or this or that. People dance to it because they can't help it. Like, it just,
right. And certain songs that out there, it's like you dance to it because you can't help it. Like,
and I think people are figuring that out outside of here. Like, especially my older friends who have kids, they'll put the music on and then like their kids will start dancing to it, like popping their like little 2-year-olds, and they're like, "What the hell?" You know, like they don't even understand.
They be in Pampers, yeah, they be in diapers, they be mama teaching, "You better do it." I'm telling you from experience.
Of course, my friends are like, "Don't do that," you know.
You know, when I first started out, it was Catery and them hoes, you know. So it's like, you know, when I first came out in 98, it was Catery and them hoes. So it's like, so that's why I've been like, I have to have a girl dancer on stage with me like every time, you know, because I'm used to having girls on stage. And they taught their daughter, so it's 12 years later. their daughters are old enough to come shake for Katie. Now their mama's too old to shake for Katie. So now I got the daughters on what a male fave video. You know, so now it went Katie Red and them hoes, it went to Katie Red and the
So
daughters.
Katie Red has a cross generational appeal now.
Right. So like,
now it's
like
them hoes kids.
That's the hoes kids. Like that's the oldest daughters and all that who got pregnant on stage for me.
And their kids will dance behind it too. Their kids will dance.
And if you like, if you look at the pictures, it's like everybody age. You be like, but I still look like Katie. Like you know, I still look like Katie. Like everybody, like you know, the mamas they done got big old stomachs, and you know, the daughters is like look just like the mamas used to look.
Well, that's what bounce does for you, right? It's a magical anti-aging effect.
Keeps you young. It does.
You should market that. Rusty, it seems like you're mainly known as sort of a cultural ambassador and DJ. Do you spend a lot of time on production?
No, I don't spend a lot of time on production. I have this personal feeling like bounce is something that like I kind of came into. Just I'm an outsider still, no matter what. I'll always be an outsider to it. So I don't really feel that obsessed with making it. I've made a couple remixes for people, for Matt and Kim and some other people, and I really enjoyed doing it. But I feel like there's enough good producers in this town. I don't know, J-Dog, Showboy CJ, Diz the Kid, Black and Mild, and I could go on.
And then, yeah, they go on and on. The list, you have a whole page of names.
Yeah.
Just the name.
And that's just the ones who are doing it right now. There's also ones who have done it in the past and are taking a break or whatever. And then there'd be, and most of those kids I just named are like under 20 anyway. So
because I need to go to Black and Mild.
Yeah. I need to go. And some are like really easy to deal with. Some are difficult. It's just like everything else. Like it's a really tricky world for producers. But I feel like it's not really my job to produce. I feel like it's more like my job to like popularize and help people understand it
and
it
manage
better.
And stuff like that.
And yeah, and help people like, you know, help dancers like figure out how to take it seriously. Help rappers figure out how if they take it seriously can help. You know, that's kind of the way I look at it. Is that I just don't dabble in production too much. I think it's like doing fine on its own. I don't really see that I have anything to contribute right now that anyone else isn't contributing. But I do help people with other things. Mainly my job seems to be helping people who want to come down here and work with bounce artists who are not like in the bounce community to find people to work with, that kind of thing. Like Diplo coming down here and saying, I'd like to work with a rapper, and me going like, come to this party. You can see them all in one night, pick whoever you want. And if he wants to do it and if they want to do it, then more power to him. And out of that, we got Express Yourself for Nikki. And like this whole weekend, I'm hosting Japanther, which is like a punk band from New York. And they're going to be here for 4 days in this house recording whoever, whatever rappers want to come through. So maybe not so much like production, but maybe like executive production, you know, where it's just like putting the people in the room together and making sure that it's happening, making sure that it's logistically possible. And then I'd rather just like let that magic happen between those people, you know. So I try to dip my hand in for things sometimes, but I really just wanted somebody to give me a drumming gig. Katie.
And we're on this again.
I'll be your marching band drummer when you come out with your baton.
When?
Anytime. Wow. I can play. I was a marching band for years.
For real?
Yeah.
You really want that band? Yeah. Like, you really?
I love playing drums. Marion's a drummer,
too. You really want to play drums.
Marion's a drummer, too.
For real?
Yeah, we're both.
A bounce punk band.
Yeah. Don't you think? A bounce punk band? Isn't that overdue? Isn't it overdue for a bounce punk band?
Y'all crazy.
Let's do it. And there we go. And consider it done. See you in 2025 with that.
All right. Do you guys have anything else coming up on the horizon?
Katie's 15th anniversary is coming up as a rapper.
Yay. My 15th anniversary coming up.
Oh, I'm at the Saint Rock every Saturday. I should say that because everyone thinks it's closed now. It's not actually closed.
Is back open?
Yeah, it's still going. It always has been, but it just closes earlier. We're done by 2 instead of being done by 4, 5.
So come early.
Please.
And that's how it is. That's how
we're
doing that.
We're struggling.
The entertainment has to be open too.
It's struggling.
But the club can stay open.
Mm-hmm. We can't even stay open. We can't even keep the bar open. We got to shut it down. We can't even have go cups no more.
But the entertainment has to be open too. But the club can still be alive.
All right. Well, thank you for talking with me, guys.
Thank you. And have a wonderful evening.